Welcome in to the Hateful Hitman Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Chris Strawsball. You can find me on Twitter at Hateful Hitman. Welcome in Tuesday, November the 12th. Remembering our veterans, thank you all who have served, who continue to serve to protect our great country. I, for one, do thank you from the bottom of my heart, because without you, hard telling where our country would be. So to the veterans out there, past, present, and future, thank you for your service and dedication to our country. We had some interesting college football this weekend. I'm going to start right there with the show. I'm going to take you right to the LSU-Alabama game. And it shouldn't really be, as long as nothing happens, this was Joe Burrow's Heisman Trophy moment right here, this game. Let's put aside the numbers for a minute. 393, three touchdowns, 64 yards on the ground. I want to put those all to the side for just a moment. Those are great because they really helped in my fantasy, my college fantasy league. But this is Alabama, okay? This is a game that typically Alabama comes back and wins. Now, they were hammering them early on in the first half, part of the second. Okay, there was no way, and anybody who watched this game knew that this game was not over with at halftime. Alabama is too good a team to let's roll over like that and let LSU just stomp them down like that. Anybody who thought that game was over at halftime, reality check, you were wrong. This game came down to who wanted it more and what team was going to outplay the other team at the very last moment. There was a play, I can't remember if it was third down or fourth down. I'm thinking it may have been third. Joe Burrow drops back, not a whole lot, you know, receiver-wise, tucks the ball and just runs right up the middle for a very, very important first down. That, to me, right there, that one single play in a very crucial moment of the game defined Joe Burrow's Heisman Trophy campaign for this season. I get a lot of these people on Facebook. I see former Buckeye doing this to the Alabama Crimson Tide, blah, 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 blah. Look, I know he was a former Buckeye. I realize he went there and he transferred out. He wasn't right for that program, okay, or else he'd still be with that program, okay? They didn't want him, so he took his services elsewhere. So I don't want to hear a whole bunch of this. Well, he's a former Buckeye crap. I don't want to hear it, all right? If they wanted him and it kept him, he'd still been a Buckeye. It's just all these Buckeyes fans around here where I live are just itching, okay? I would love to see it come down to LSU and Ohio State for the national championship and Joe Burrow just whip the Buckeyes. That would be fun to watch. That would be a game that I would actually watch if the Buckeyes were in the national championship. What a great game that was. Bama came rolling back. They cut it. They got within it, you know. Got it close. Burrow made his case for the Heisman in this game. Now, a lot of work to be done yet, you know, with a little bit of the season left, but you got to like what you see from Joe Burrow in college, Heisman candidate, and at the next level, you know, going into the NFL. Kid looked good. He looked poised. The moment wasn't too big for him. This was basically a national championship game within the SEC. Great game for the Tigers. Always like it when Bama loses. A little bit of a fantasy roller coaster this week for a lot of you, me included. May wiggle out of this with a 7-3 win-loss ratio this week. One league still. Haven't got the results back yet. May squeak out a 7-3 week. Don't know. Did lose. Finally got knocked off 9-0 in the league. Finally got beat. It's bound to happen. You can't win them all. It was close. I had a few guys going last night. Thought maybe they could bring me back. Lockett got hurt. Carson was good, you know. Just couldn't close the gap. Took a devastating loss for me in the Chumps League. If I would have won, I would have knocked off the defending champ and everybody in the division except for the guy in first place would have all had the same record top to bottom. Came close. I got let down by my guys who was going last night. Not really a whole lot of them really showed up for that game. Lockett getting hurt kind of sucks. Hopefully he's okay, but they say he has some leg swelling going on, so we'll have to see about that. But devastating loss for me. It puts me a game back now of the rest of the division, and I'm on the outside looking in the playoffs, getting down to the wire. Hopefully you guys had a good fantasy week. The bipocalypse was here. It hit. It didn't really hurt me like it did some of these other people I talked to that the buys were just killing them these past couple of weeks. It hasn't hit me yet, which is a good thing because now a lot of the big names, you know, have already had their bye weeks and, you know, still got a Dalvin Cook issue in a couple of weeks when he's off. But wasn't bad. Hopefully I can squeak out 7-3 mark. That'd be pretty good. Let's get to the games. Start last night. What a game. San Fran, Seattle. I had Seattle pick to win. You just can't count out Russell Wilson. Okay, the guy is playing on another level. Definitely the better. I don't care what the records was. He was definitely the better two quarterbacks. Not just last night. He's a better quarterback than Jimmy Garoppolo. The San Francisco defense, you know, they're true to form. They are as good as advertised. They played fantastic last night. Kept San Fran in it. But I can't say enough about Russell Wilson. I'll get to him a little bit later. I got a question from my Hateful Hitman Facebook group about the MVP race. I'll get to that in a little bit. But it's hard. You can't hate. You got to love Russell Wilson, okay? Watching him play, you know, class act guy, you know, watching him play is just fun. He's a fun guy to watch, and you just never can count Seattle out. I don't care if they're playing an undefeated team in San Francisco. You know, my mark was going to be on Seattle. If you watch that game, you actually watched probably the best Monday Night Football game of the year because they've all been just so bad. But I didn't watch all of it. I went to bed shortly before regulation was over with. Game goes into overtime. I finished watching it this morning. Game goes into overtime, and almost down to the end of overtime, and Seattle's able to kick a winning field goal to win the game. Chris Carson, 25 for 89 and a touchdown. DK, 6 for 70. Probably the receptions help save your fantasy day for him. I want to talk a little bit about Hollister, the tight end for those guys, for just a moment. Will Disley's out. Now, if Lockett is out for any length of time, Hollister would probably be my streaming free agent pick up of the week. I want to talk a little bit about Brian Hill in Atlanta as well, but Atlanta scares me running the ball. So I know he's going to be a real hot commodity. I did actually pick him up in a league, but I think Hollister is a safer play because Russell Wilson, you know, he used Will Disley, you know, before he got hurt. And, you know, Hollister made, you know, a really nice touchdown catch last night, and he's used him, you know, since Disley's been out. And now if Lockett's hurt for any length of time, I think he's a safer pickup in tight end leagues. And even if you need him in a deep flex position, you know, I pick him up over Brian Hill. Now, on that Brian Hill situation, Devontae Freeman has been a turd all season for fantasy owners. And if you look at his numbers, 20 carries, 61 yards, that's not a lot. Averages about 3 yards a pop there. One catch for a touchdown, saved his fantasy day. Not too many people started him, I'm sure, but they probably will going forward. Like I always said, he has an opportunity. I preach opportunity on this podcast. He now has an opportunity to come in, seize that job, you know, and he's a starting running back in the NFL. If you need him, like I said, I picked him up in the league. I did put a waiver claim in for him with my Fab dollars in our test league on Sleeper, see if I can get him on there. But, you know, I like Hollister a little bit better as far as a higher floor than I do Brian Hill, because I just don't trust that running game in Atlanta, because it is what it is. We've seen what it is. It's just not good. You know, maybe he comes in and gets his chance, because, you know, I'd love to see him get his chance. You know, he's been at this for a while, and I'd love to see him get a chance, you know, grab his opportunity and run with it. But, you know, if I was going to pick up any two players this week, you know, if you got bye weeks or whatever, it would be Hill and Hollister, but Hollister would be a little bit higher on my list. Oh, how the Colts need a quarterback. Okay, Brian Hoyer, luckily you're a line from, you know, any given Sunday. I can't cut you because I ain't got nobody else. 204, three picks, my goodness. Colts fans are just screaming that now Brissett is not as bad as they thought he was, and it's not that bad. Brissett's getting better every game, hopefully, health-wise, he's able to get back, because obviously you just lost to the Miami Dolphins, okay? And you can thank that loss to Brian Hoyer, because he played terrible. You know, but hey, let's look at it. Hand it to the Dolphins. They stuck it out. They got a win. They came in with a team that was reeling at quarterback. They seized their opportunity, and they won the game. You know, congratulations to the Dolphins. You know, they're showing, you know, some fight. What more can you say about that? Really nothing. That game was probably terrible. I watched 0 minutes of it because it just – thought it was terrible from beginning to end. But holy crap, the Dolphins, they won, people. They won. I don't know what to make of the Browns. Okay, just when you expect them to do one thing, they flip the script and do something completely opposite. You know, they beat a two-loss Bills team who, you know, had lost to New England. Can't fault them for that. You know, Buffalo comes into Cleveland, and Cleveland, you know, 19-16. They didn't burn up the score, but, you know, Baker, 238, two touchdowns, no picks. Nick Chubb, 20 for 116. Kareem Hunt with 7 catches, 44 yards. If you streamed him, you know, it's a deep flex. You know, those receptions and the yardage, you know, gave you some fantasy points. I did pick him up in a league. It's the podcast league I'm in, where I've ripped off like 4 out of 5 wins, and I was really deep at wide receiver, and I thought, well, I had a guy offer me a wide receiver for a wide receiver, and he wanted Christian Kirk, and I'm like, well, I'm really deep, so I'm like, well, if I'm going to trade Christian Kirk, I need to pick up some depth at running back. So I made a deal with him for Christian Kirk for Kareem Hunt, and now after the game that, you know, Christian Kirk just had, kind of regretting that, but I did need some help at running back depth going into the fantasy playoffs, so, you know, that guy made out big time this week, having Christian Kirk at the, you know, in his lineup for him. But going forward, you know, it's starting to move, and I've said this all season, it's starting to move a little bit in the right direction. You know, Jarvis Landry had a big game, 997 and a touchdown. OBJ, 5 for 57, you know, double digits, double digits from your wide receivers in fantasy. You know, and like I said, Mayfield looked good. You know, against the defense, a Buffalo defense is supposed to be pretty good. Okay, they're good everywhere. And, you know, they outplayed them, out-toughed them, and, you know, they won the game in the fourth quarter. Good for the Browns. What do we do about the Bills? You know, I was really planning on Josh Allen to help carry me to a couple of championships. I picked him up in a couple of places in fantasy. And, you know, his 266 through the air, his two touchdowns on the ground is obviously what made his fantasy day worthwhile. But do we have to rely on Josh Allen, you know, getting into the end zone on the ground every week to make him fantasy relevant? That's starting to worry me a little bit, because I just don't know if that's safe, that we can count on that from week to week. It scares me. I would love to play Josh Allen. I could take the 266 yardage if he threw two touchdowns, because that seems like it's a little bit more, you know, realistic. But him running two in every week to save his fantasy day and to save your fantasy championship run, not sure I can bank on that. But I want to. I want to be one of those guys that says, hey, I won a championship with Josh Allen, because I've been on his bandwagon, you know, since he was in college. Minkah Fitzpatrick over the Los Angeles Rams, 17-12. That's funny, because it's kind of true. Minkah Fitzpatrick, since joining the Steelers, has more touchdowns than Odell Beckham for the year. I saw that stat somewhere. I thought that was pretty fascinating. It's like Minkah Fitzpatrick got traded from Miami, where he was getting smothered by the Dolphins, goes to Pittsburgh, and is all of a sudden he's actually playing like the first round pick that he, you know, playing like the first round pick, you know, that he's worth a year ago. I got a bundle of Steeler fans that I know. Okay, some of them are very dear friends of mine. Everybody's loving this whole Minkah Fitzpatrick thing. He's energized that defense. They're playing a lot better, and he seems to be the plug that's, you know, power in the ship. Besides that, though, we'll talk about Mason Rudolph. 242 and a touchdown. No interceptions. Okay? He protected the ball. And I said this back at the beginning of the season when we knew he was going to be playing when Big Ben got hurt. Okay, you want to believe in this guy, and he's learning, he's growing, and he could be the heir apparent when Big Ben does decide to shut it down. Okay, 22 for 38, good numbers, 242 and a touchdown, like I said. Spreads the ball around, okay? Spreads the ball around, 4, 5, 6 different receivers, all caught passes. And Jalen Samuels, I hate this, but he's not James Conner, okay? And you can't expect him to do James Conner things, because he's just not that type of back, for one, and he's not as good as James Conner. So if this team gets James Conner back, you know, they're 5-4. Not sure they're going to win their division with the way Baltimore's playing and Lamar Jackson on a different planet. I didn't see that coming, by the way. Totally whiffed on that. But to get themselves in a position where they can win and get a wild card, this team can make the playoffs. The defense is playing inspired. The offense is getting better. They get Connor back. And, you know, this team's very dangerous. And, you know, almost fun to watch. They're gelling. They're getting better as a team. And, you know, you beat the defending NFC champions, which is not the same team from last year, obviously. Okay? But they're 5-4 now as well. So you beat a team that's kind of equal footing with you that was in the championship game last year. You know, Baltimore, Pittsburgh, in that NFC or AFC North, one of those teams, I think Baltimore wins the division. Pittsburgh could squeak into the wild card. Speaking of Baltimore, they handled it. They handed the Bengals. Really, anybody who thought that game wasn't going to be a smoke show was, you know, anybody who thought the Bengals had a chance was obviously a Bengals fan. Bengals fall to 0-9, Baltimore 7-2. Lamar Jackson's on another planet, like I just said. 223, 3 through the air, 65 yards rushing and a touchdown on a spin move that everybody talking about. To me, it wasn't all that fantastic. He hit a spin move on a big fat linebacker and went into the end zone. It wasn't mouth dropping. It was a great move, but I'm like, okay, it's been done before. Whatever, you know, great game by the Baltimore Ravens, you know, winning a division game, but you know, it was the Bengals and it was supposed to be that way. They're supposed to beat that team 49-13. If you're that good and you know, you're supposed to win your division and go to the playoffs, you're supposed to beat an 0-8 team like that. Hollywood makes an appearance, 4-for-80 and a touchdown. If you played him, you had a good fantasy day. If you didn't and you lost, you're probably wishing you did. But Mark Andrews, man, 6-for-53 and 2 touchdowns. He's like a very, very safe flex play every week. He has a chance to get in, even in a non-tight end league. You know, I think you can play him because those are numbers that right there you take 6-for-53 and 2 touchdowns. That's wide receiver numbers. He's a great play, even in a flex in a non-tight end league. You guys having a fantastic season. You know, it's not a two-horse show unless Cleveland gets their act together and wants to make an appearance there at the end of the season, but the Bengals are done, obviously. But, you know, it's going to come down to if Baltimore wins it, Pittsburgh stays hot, fighting for a playoff spot in that AFC North. Be interesting to see how it works out the rest of the season. We got a lot of football. Okay, we're down to getting down to the end of it in fantasy where we're down to, like, you know, trade deadline weeks and stuff this week, but you know, we still got a lot of football to be played. Okay, it's right at halfway. You know, we're going into week 11. So, you know, we still got 6 weeks of football. And, you know, a lot can happen. You know, these teams that are hovering around 500 or about 500 or a game below 500 are not out of it yet. Okay, they can flip the switch and turn it on. And, you know, a lot can happen between now and then. But what a run it's going to be on these teams, on these divisions, where, you know, you got two really hot teams, you know, like the Ravens and Pittsburgh. See who's going to fight that out, you know, and win it and go to the playoffs or possibly a wild card. Talked about the Cowboys-Vikings for just a minute. I made a post. Everybody knows my thoughts on Dak Prescott. Okay, he's not the world's greatest quarterback. He's not my favorite quarterback in the world. Okay, if you've ever seen the movie Major Payne, at the end of it, when he looks at his troop and he goes, "You guys are still a crap sandwich. You're just not a soggy one." That's kind of my thoughts on Dak this year. Okay, somebody posted it on one of my Facebook sites. You know, Colin Cowherd had his take on the loss to the Vikings the other night. He said it was on the coaching. Can't argue with that. But Dak, I said it back at the beginning of the season, back before the season even started, that this was Dak's prove-it year to me, okay? Not only is it contract year, okay, it's a prove-it year to me as a fan and to Cowboy fans. You know, this is a prove-it year. I got to say, he's proven it, okay? That Minnesota defense is really good. They're good at all three levels, and Dak played a fantastic game, okay? Played well enough to win, almost 400 yards. 3 touchdowns on that pick at the end of the game on a Hail Mary that doesn't even count, okay, because that was a Hail Mary at the end of the game. He threw a pick, and it goes on his stat line, but you can't even count that. He played very well, okay? Here's what hurt me, and I think it hurt Dallas a little bit too. He didn't run one time. He didn't tuck the ball and run the whole entire game. And I thought there were times throughout the game where he could have maybe went and made a play and got a first down, kept some drives alive. I blame that on coaching. I thought some of the play calls were a little stupid. But Dak, in the big picture, is proving it to me. Little bit by little bit. So much so that I actually even made a trade for him in the Chumps League, hoping to keep me, you know, playoff relevant. You know, going in, we have a two-quarterback system. You know, hopefully he can help keep me afloat, keep me in the playoff hunt going down the road. Look, I've got to. You guys know this is coming. Anybody who listens to my show regularly knows how big of a college fan I am, knows how big of a Florida State fan I am. You know this is coming, okay? So let's just get it out of the way. Dalvin Cook went into Texas Stadium, kicked down the doors, and outplayed Ezekiel Elliott. In every facet. Again, he had over 100 yards, and he got dumped on the last carry. Took him under 100. He'd have over 100, a touchdown, 7 catches, 86 yards. Could have went for 100 and 100 easily if they would have used him more. I hate the way they use him inside the 5. It drives me insane. This guy is leading the league in rushing. Having the year that I predicted he would have back before the season even started. And that's going to bring me to my question that was posed to me on the Hateful Hitman Facebook page. Tobin Burchett sent in a question, who do you have this far into the season as the MVP? And he's got 5 guys listed on his answer. Okay? He's got McCaffrey, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, Dalvin Cook, Russell Wilson. Okay, I had some people chime in with their thoughts. On this list of people he has recommended, Mahomes would be the last on that list. Okay, I saw a stat earlier yesterday that the year that Adrian Peterson won his MVP, Dalvin Cook is outperforming that year. Numbers-wise, I think he's got more attempts than Peterson has. He's got more yards, more touchdowns, more attempts. So that, I mean, obviously the attempts skew the yardage a little bit. The only problem with that was when Adrian Peterson won that MVP back then, Christian McCaffrey wasn't even, he was probably still in junior high. Okay, now we have Christian McCaffrey, who is not just a utility back or a third down back. He's a finesse back. He's a power back. He's a feature back. He's also maybe the best wide receiver on the team. You can argue that. Okay, he gets the ball in space. He's going to make you miss. And if you miss him, he could go. I love this question because every possible name on this list has, you know, the chance to be the MVP if the season ended today. Okay? I love Dalvin Cook. I would love to say that it's Dalvin Cook, and it's not even a question in my mind. Okay? Dalvin Cook just went over 1,000 yards for the first time in his career this year because he's healthy. Okay? Dalvin Cook's doing the things that I said that he would do if he could stay healthy. I can't put Dalvin Cook at the top of that list because there's 2 people in my mind better than him at this stage in the game. So I would put Cook 3rd. Right now, okay? And I would say that he's probably tied with Lamar Jackson. Okay, I can't take away what Lamar Jackson has done running and passing the ball. I really can't. But at this point, when you look at, you know, the numbers, Dalvin Cook is leading the league in rushing. That has to be factored in if you're saying who's the MVP right now. Okay, so with that being said, it's a two-way tie with Dalvin Cook and Lamar Jackson at 3rd. Okay, I have to go Christian McCaffrey at 2. Okay, and one of the guys, Dustin Stout, chimed in and said, it's time for another position to win besides the quarterback. Dustin, I couldn't agree more, bud. I couldn't agree more, but it's not going to happen as long as my number one guy keeps doing what he's doing, and that's Russell Wilson. Okay, I said this a few weeks ago. You know, back then, a few weeks ago, it was like, you know, he's quietly creeping into the MVP race. He's quietly making his case for the MVP. Now, he's went in to Levi Stadium, kicked in the door, beat the undefeated team, San Francisco, and stated his claim as the MVP. If the season ends today in my mind and they vote, and if I had a vote, that would be it. Cook and Jackson would be third, McCaffrey two, Russell Wilson one. Tobin, to answer your question, I appreciate the question, by the way. Fantastic question. It's hard for a running back to win the MVP. You've got to really just blow it out of the water. Would I love to see McCaffrey win it? Absolutely. He deserves it. Okay, he deserves it. If Dalvin Cook keeps up this pace where he ends up with, you know, 12 or 13, 1,500 yards rushing, double-digit touchdowns, and he chimes in another 500 or 600 on the ground, or through the air, excuse me, you know, he's going to really state his case for that as well. Okay, McCaffrey and Cook, two different backs, two different style of backs. But you can see, if you watch the Cowboys game or you watch any Carolina game, these two guys are game changers. Okay? The defenses are so worried about what those guys are going to do to them that they look away from the other places. Randall Cobb had a fantastic game the other night. Excuse me, I was off there for a minute. But on that note, Randall Cobb had a great game the other night because the defense was so worried about Zeke. Okay, that was their plan going in, stop Zeke Elliott, make Dak hurt us, and they still won the game. Okay, I got off on that for just a minute, my apologies. But these teams that go in and play Minnesota and Carolina are focused on shutting these guys down, and they haven't been able to do it. Okay, that right there is an MVP candidate. But when you look at Russell Wilson, and I'm going to get off of this because I'm running out of time, but Russell Wilson to me right now at this moment in the NFL season is the MVP. You can't ever count him out. He's clutch. He's as clutch as quarterback as we've seen in a long time, and you can't count him out. And it'd be my vote for Russell Wilson, and that's where it is. Tobin, appreciate that. Appreciate the question. If you're not a member of the Facebook group, go to Facebook groups. Type in the Hateful Hitman. Ask to join the group. I'll let you in. It's a fandom page. You're going to see a lot of Dallas Cowboys, a lot of Florida State stuff. But feel free to post your own stuff on there, questions. Get the conversations going. This was a great, great conversation starter. Appreciate the question. Upset of the week, sure. Hands down, the Titans over the Chiefs. You know, Ryan Tannehill's getting it done for those guys, man. Didn't blow you away, 181 passing yards, but he threw for two touchdowns. Okay, three carries, 37 yards. Derrick Henry, what a ball of iron he was. 188 yards, two touchdowns. I don't know if they can sustain this or not, but they're definitely playing better with Tannehill under center. Okay, they've got to get their wide receivers going, and they got to keep them healthy. You look down here, and A.J. Brown, the rookie draft pick, one catch, 17 yards. Okay, and you know Davis didn't play. What a bust he's been this season and pretty much his whole entire career. They need a guy that's really going to step up, take the reins, and be that number one wide receiver, because they got the running back threat, and you know, and Tannehill's playing great. A lot of experience underneath that helmet, you know. Took care of Kansas City, and you know, hats off to that. Even though Mahomes goes for 446 and three touchdowns and disintegrates me in the Chumps League, it was able to withstand that and still get the win. You know, hats off to Tennessee Titans this week for sure. In a game that I thought was going to be like 51-50, The Bucks moved to 3-6 with a win over the Cardinals, 3-6-1. You know, Kyler Murray, good stat line, fantasy-wise. 324, three touchdowns. He had some long ones. 3 for 38, and here it's a really delicate balance with him running the ball, okay? I would love to see him run the ball more, you know, kind of like Josh Allen, but he'll get killed. He's just a little guy. Okay, so the 3 for 38 on the ground is just a few extra bonus points that you just, you know, you enjoy, because when he throws for 324 and three touchdowns, that's your fantasy day. Christian Kirk, career day, 6 catches, 138 yards, 3 touchdowns. That's very good efficiency. If you do the math, that's half of his catches turned into touchdowns. Andy Isabella's climbing up a little bit. He had a couple of good catches back-to-back weeks. Larry Fitzgerald, 8 for 71. He definitely moves the ball around, Kyler Murray. 8 different people catching passes, moves around, moves the pocket. Not a lot in the running game. David Johnson looked horrible. Got the ball, went off tackle, and it was literally like watching that dude in slow motion. Absolutely terrible. 5 carries, 2 yards. What a poo day for him. And he just doesn't look good. He hasn't looked good his whole entire season. And you know, and maybe we're seeing the decline of David Johnson because of all the injuries. But here's the one that really shocks me the most. And it makes me wonder, okay, is he really healthy? Jets beat the Giants 34-27. Sure, it's the Jets and the Giants. You know, that game could have been a coin toss. But when Saquon Barkley carries the ball for 13 times for 1 yard, you got problems. Okay, Daniel Jones, fantastic fantasy day. 308, 4 touchdowns. If you started him, man, he probably won you a week. But Saquon, he may not be healthy. I don't know. But you get 13 carries out of Saquon Barkley, you usually get 80 yards instead of 1. Fantasy bust of the week, Saquon Barkley. Holy cow. Darius Slayton, boy, I missed on this. Well, I didn't really miss. I said I think he'll be good this week, but once they get some of the guys healthy back, he's going to kind of fade into the mist. 10 carries, 121 yards, 2 touchdowns. What a fantastic week Darius Slayton had. Golden Tate, 4 for 95, and the other 2 touchdowns that Jones threw. Big games there for Slayton and Tate. If you had either one of those guys in, you know, congratulations, good for you. Saquon, 5 for 30 in the passing game. It didn't really even salvage your day. May have got you 8 points out of that, but you definitely, you got to have more than 8 points from Saquon Barkley. You expect that to do any good, you know, in your fantasy weeks with him. But, wow, what a bad game that dude had. One more note on the Bucks-Cardinals game. The 6 for 74 for Chris Godwin saved your fantasy day, but he is obviously the number 2 wide receiver in Tampa. That is Mike Evans' show, and in the first half of the year, it was evident that Evans was sick and hurt and not doing great, but now that is Evans' show, and Godwin just getting some touches there or catches there in the second half salvaged his day, but I'm a little worried about touchdowns for Chris Godwin heading into the fantasy playoffs. I don't mind the target share. I still think he's going to get his targets, but getting him into the end zone, I just don't know how much, you know. Jameis is going to throw the ball, okay? Even with Ronald Jones showing some signs of life in the running game, Jameis is still going to throw it, so there's always a chance, but I worry that when they get down there, you know, he's going to go to Evans, you know, or maybe even O.J. Howard, who caught another touchdown this week. I think maybe Chris Godwin may be limited to, you know, catching the big one, you know, 20, 25 yards, or breaking a 50-yarder and going to the house. I think that may be where he's going to get his touchdowns from. I worry about when they get inside there, that's going to other places. Still like the target share. I still like the opportunity because Jameis throws the ball, you know, what did he throw the ball? 48 times this past week. So I'm just a little worried about Chris Godwin. Bears beat the Lions 20-13. That's only because Matt Stafford couldn't play. Got something wrong with his neck. Jeff Driscoll, if he didn't play, if Stafford plays that game, the Lions win. Chicago makes me so mad. Trubisky's terrible quarterback. Okay, he salvaged his game with 3 touchdowns, but he's not very good. He's horrible. They're not using David Montgomery. I don't know what his deal is. Maybe he's just not that good. 17 for 60. He got his opportunities. Just not, you know, just not great. The running game there in Chicago is a mess. I don't trust either one of them. I benched Christian Kirk in the league. Yeah, that's a big-time no-no. In the league I was 9-0 in, I benched Christian Kirk in favor of David Montgomery. And had I played Christian Kirk, I'm 10-0 this week. It's that simple. I'm putting him in my bench everywhere I've got him. In leagues where it's not Dynasty or Keeper, I'm probably cutting him. I'm done with the roller coaster. It's not even really a roller coaster. It's like you go up or you go straight across, and then you have a little hill where he scores a touchdown, and then it's straight across again, and then it's down, and then he scores a touchdown, and then that's basically it. That's it. Roller coaster is over. Ride's over. So I'm not trusting him anymore. I tried one last week, and I'm done with that whole situation. And I got several shares of David Montgomery because I was expecting way more than this. And, man, has he been a letdown. I had him over Josh Jacobs, thinking he's going to have a better season over Josh Jacobs. Well, Jacobs is just smoking that. And I was definitely wrong about Josh Jacobs. So if you got Josh Jacobs, you're having a great season out of him for his rookie campaign. For the Lions, I hope Stafford gets back soon because they don't need to run. Okay, they're running games terrible as well. But when you got Marvin Jones, Galladay, Hawkinson, Amendola, you know, McKissick catching 6 passes, when you got all those guys that can catch the ball, you don't need to run. Just throw it. Throw it 60 times a game and let your wide receivers and your quarterback just score massive fantasy points as soon as you get Matt Stafford back. So the only reason the Bears won this game is because Stafford wasn't playing. I'm a firm believer in that. That's a wrap-up on the Fantasy Week. Moving on into Week 11 now in the NFL. Fantasy playoffs in college are kicking off this week. Luckily, I had the number one seed in the league. Got a bye week. Going to take the week off and get ready for the college semifinals next week. If you're interested in college fantasy or NFL dynasty, let me know. We are trying to combine a league where it's going to be a college dynasty and an NFL Devy dynasty, combining it into a big mega league for next year. The details still getting worked out. But what we're going to do is we're going to have a college dynasty. Winner of that league will go and get the 101 in the NFL draft for our college or for our NFL league. Trying to put this together. We liked about 10 guys to get it started. If you're interested, let me know. Find me on Twitter at Hateful Hitman. Find me on the podcast Facebook page. Let me know what you think if you're interested. That will do it. We'll do it for Week 10 wrap-up. My name is Chris Strausball. You can find me on Twitter at Hateful Hitman. Thank you for listening to the Hateful Hitman Fantasy Football Podcast. You can find the show on Podbean, Spreaker, Stitcher, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Podcast Addict, and hopefully coming soon, Apple Podcasts. I submitted it, waiting for approval. Hopefully that gets passed, and you can find me on just about every source out there. Have a great week. See you next time on The Hitman Show.